Good morning. Go ahead and be seated. Good morning. My name is Mike Skin. I am the lead pastor here at Epic Life Church. I want to welcome this morning. And we fight like battleships sometimes, right? Well, you've joined us in the middle of a great series we're calling From This Day Forward. And we're going to give five commitments, and we'll talk about this here just shortly, but five commitments, man, to strengthen our marriage and have the marriage that really I believe that God wants us to have. But before we get to that point, I want to talk about this little thing in my hand. Hopefully y'all received a worship guide when you came in. If everyone will take those worship guides out at this time, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Inside you'll find some message notes, some upcoming events, and as well as one of our most important items, which is our communication card. If everyone would fill out this communication card, put your name, your address, email, whatever you feel comfortable with talking, letting us know about. And if you're a first-time guest today, let us know what brought you to Epic Life. Right there at the bottom, you can just tell us if a friend or drive by or seen it in the paper or on the website or Facebook or Twitter. We have so many different ways you can hear about us. So let us know. That helps us know what's working and what's not working. Then take that card, flip it over. On the back side, you'll find some next steps that I'll refer to later on in the message when we continue on with that, as well as one of our most important items, and that is our prayer request. We take prayer very seriously here at Epic Life. We have a great team, and I have seen for myself some amazing things happening through our prayer group that are praying for these requests individually, personally, and all that good stuff. And so write your prayer request down. Whatever it is, man, you know, you need God to do something in your life or you're going through a hard time, let us know about it, man. Let us be praying in agreement with you in prayer. Now, I understand not everything you want to put out there for everyone to read about. I get that. So if you'll mark that box confidentiality right there at the bottom left, then I'll be praying over those. Those do not go out to our team, but I personally pray over those each and every day throughout the week. Then take this pretty little card and drop it off in what we call our .com barrel, stands for donations, commitments, and communications. You'll find one as you exit the building right here, or the exit the room, as well as you exit the building right next to our information table. If you came prepared to give this morning, in the center of your tables, you'll find envelopes. Go ahead and put your giving inside there and drop that off. Keep our comm card and your giving separate, but drop that off in the .com barrel as well on your way out. Finally, if this is your first time this morning to visit with Epic Life or your second time, we want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and visiting with us and hanging out with us and being a part of this marriage series that we're talking about. And we've got a free gift for you. If you'll stop by on the way out on the information table, just stop by there. There's some great books. There's Bibles. There's information about our church. But whatever's on that table, it's free to you. Take something. Take it home. Just our gift to you of saying thank you so much for taking time out of your day to visit with us. Man, I am excited as lead pastor of Epic Life to be here this morning because you couldn't have come at a more important time, because I think couples today struggle when it comes to this topic we're going to talk about, and that we're going to put on the glove. We're going to box, okay? We're going to have each couple come up here, one on each side, going to ding, 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 and whoever wins, wins. And so, guys, I'm sorry, you're probably going to get whooped, because probably when you start getting whooped or you try to whoop the girl, you're going to get whooped anyway, so it's not a good thing for you guys. Anyhow, but let's start off with the video, and I'll come back here, and we'll move on through this series. Let's take a look. Yeah, how many have been there? How many know how it means or what it means to be a fighter, man, in the marriage? Some of y'all are survivors, right? Some survivors, and some of you guys have just been whooped, and just you're here this morning going, man, what do I need to do, man, to make my life better and make this better? So really, we've been talking about From This Day Forward, and it's based off, you know, the vows that we've taken. We've all taken those vows, or you're going to take those vows one day, or you hope to take those vows one day, where we talk about From This Day Forward Till Death Do Us Part. And for some of you guys, that might come a little earlier than others. All the ladies said amen, right? Okay. And really, it's a great message series for those who are already married, and giving some tools and making these five commitments, man, to live a healthy marriage and to take a look at what a healthy marriage looks like. Last week, we made a commitment to seek God, and we all agreed that we're going to do what? We're going to start praying together. And some of those, I've already gotten some reports back, man. Some of you guys have been saying, man, this is working. Over a week, they've already started praying, and some great things have started to happen. So hoorah to you guys. We want to fail-proof that marriage. And so last week, you can go online at epiclife.com. Terrell.com. Last week's message is loaded up if you want to take a look at that and listen to it. It's in MP3 format, so it's not video, but you can listen to it. It's a great, great message. So I want to do this morning is we're going to go through this every week. We want to take a look at this, and I want everybody to help me out, all right? So we're going to go through these five commitments that we're going to be making, and I need your help, right? So don't just kind of sit there all quiet and everything. We're at church. We should have fun, right? Everybody said? Right on. I got a couple of y'all. Everybody said? Right on, man. We're at church. It don't mean we got to be all tight-winded and, you know, got walking around kind of like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? So let's take a look at these commitments we're making. Last week we talked about what? We talked about we're going to seek God, right? Right. We're gonna do what? We're gonna seek God. There we go. Number one. Number two, somebody got it. All right. Let's all try to do this now. And all the guys, give me a big grunt. All the guys, give me a grunt. All right. I don't know what that was. Praise God. But all right. So number two, we're gonna fight fair. Number three, what are we gonna do? We're gonna have fun, right? Everybody say it with me. We're gonna have fun. All right. Number four, we're gonna do what? We're gonna stay pure, right? Number five, we're going to never give up. So let's all do that. Now, everybody all across the church, I don't care how old you are, everybody do this. Number one, we're going to. Number two, we're going to. Number three, we're going to. Number four, right on. Number five, never give up. So this morning, we're going to talk about how to fight fair. And to do that, I've got a couple bonus scriptures that I've placed. One of them's in the slide, one of them's not, so you might not have this in the notes. You might want to write that down. But the first bonus one that I came out with was Proverbs 27:15. All right, guys, I need you to listen to this one. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. All the guys said, right on, man. Quarrelsome, nagging, manipulative, critical wife, she's like a drip, 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 drip. Constant dripping, right? Now, ladies, lest you feel like I'm just picking on you, the next verse is for you. The scripture says, it is better to have a severe hemorrhoids than to live with a husband who is a jerk. All the ladies said, man, that's what I'm talking about, praise God. Now, I know you guys are going, Pastor Mike, where's that at? What scripture? Well, that is found in Mike chapter 4, verse 2. No, just kidding. I made that up. So don't look for it. It's not in there, okay? So how many of you, I mean, a show of hands this morning, how many of you have ever fought about something with anybody over something stupid or insignificant? Everybody raise your hand. Everybody should be raising their hand across the building because, yes, I've been there. We've all been there, right? Anybody getting a fight on the way into church this morning? Anybody? We got hands still raising. Okay. All right. Some people are sitting by themselves this morning. I see. Yeah. Right on. You know, I know with Robin and I have had, you know, 23 years of practice. We don't call it fights, though. We call it intense fellowships. We don't believe in fighting. We believe in having intense fellowships. My voice carries, her voice carries. You wouldn't think that Robin would do that. But one of our most famous fights that we had was over mashed potatoes. That's serious business, man, in my home. All right? Mashed potatoes. My wife and I hadn't been married very long, very, very short time, and she was going to make dinner. She was going to make this great dinner for me, and I was pretty excited about it. You know, my first home-cooked kind of dinner with Robin, and up to this point, you have to understand, the only thing that I knew my wife could prepare were bologna sandwiches and soup, and so that's what I was used to, because I'd go up into her dorm when she was in the military, and she'd feed me, and it was in this little crock pot that was about that big, and she'd make a little bit of soup, and she'd have a bologna sandwich, and I'm like, hey, you know, at least she knows how to make two items, which is great. So I told her, she asked one of my favorite foods. I said, steak and mashed potatoes, man. I love mashed potatoes. I was born and raised on potatoes. I grew up in Idaho, so, I mean, you know, kind of goes with the territory. And I'm a perfectionist when it comes to making a good batch of mashed potatoes. Yeah, that's what I said. So I walk in the kitchen, and my wife's got the crock pot cooking. Now, I've never experienced mashed potatoes in a crock pot before. I don't know any of you have done this. And I see this stuff. It doesn't look like potatoes. But it's like, and it's wet. It almost kind of looks like cream of wheat, but real dark color, almost like burnt cream of wheat. And I'm like, what is that? She's like, I'm making you mashed potatoes. And she was so happy about it. I mean, she was really excited about this. I'm like, that's not mashed potatoes. There ain't no potatoes in there. And what she would do is that she would take mashed potatoes. She'd cut the potatoes up, she had that part right, and then she'd put it in a crock pot with water, and she would cook it until the water was gone. And then whatever was left was mashed potatoes. Yeah, ongoing battle that we had. And finally, praise God, she's been delivered. The Holy Spirit has come upon her, the spirit of mashed potato making. And she has, praise God, she has, we fight though. Matter of fact, we fight quite a bit. I mean, I think marriages is about fighting. It's about communication. Matter of fact, just last week, Robin came into me crawling on her hands and knees after a fight, just crawling, you know, one leg after another, looked right up under the bed and said, "Get out of here and fight like a man, you coward." You know, it's just, we fight quite a bit. I mean, she usually wins most of the time, all the guy said. Amen. Right. The reality is that all couples are going to fight. Why? Because we are all, or have been, all sinners. We're in a sinful flesh. And we all have this thing called selfishness. We all have this thing that kind of gets on us that we want our own. But here's what we need to do. We need to learn and understand how a healthy couple fights. Unhealthy couples fight dirty. They fight below the belt. They do the ugly jabs and undercuts and accusations. That's how unhealthy couples fight. Healthy couples fight for resolution. Unhealthy couples fight for victory. And so as you're looking at your relationship, whether you're going to be married, whether you're not married, whether you are married or you've been married for many years, one of the healthiest things you need to look at is, how do you fight? Do you fight for the victory or do you fight for resolution? Because that's a giveaway in your relationship to find out where you are as far as being healthy or unhealthy. Matter of fact, a fascinating study that you can read about by a guy named Dr. John Gottman, who is a kind of a marriage specialist, he studied couples who fight for over 16 years. And he watched them, and he studied how they fought. What were the conditions? What happened? What were the results? What were the outcomes? And now, he can watch a couple for only 5 minutes and determine within a 91% accuracy whether this couple will make it or not, whether they will divorce. Because he says it's all about how you fight. It's not if you fight. It's how you fight. And as couples, we're going to seek God, and we're going to learn how to fight fair. Our key verse this morning, man, is going to be James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, which says, everyone, say everyone, should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God has for them or that God desires. And so I want you to watch. We're going to take a look at this book of James. We're going to unpack it. We're going to break it down. And how one verse inspired by the Holy Spirit can totally bring healing into your marriage and teach us how not to fight dirty, but instead to fight fair. So here are three rules that we're going to talk about when it comes to fighting fair. First of all, we need to stop. If we're in a fight, things are escalating, we need to stop, we need to listen carefully, because we often don't, right? Generally, the way we listen... is this way. Now, I'm going to kind of play the bad guy here for a moment. And generally, when we're in a fight, your spouse is saying something to you, blah, 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 blah. And inside your mind, you're going, that's not true. No, because that's not what I did. What really happened was, and you're kind of equipping yourself and you're preparing yourself for the response. So as soon as she or he takes a breath, you unload on them. And that's not what God calls us to do. We need to learn to become listeners. And so number one in your worship guide, if you're following along with you, write this down. Everyone should be quick to listen. James 1:19. But what we're often quick to do, we're quick to speak, aren't we? We want to make sure that we're heard. We want to make sure we get our point across first. And so we're not generally quick to listen, but we are quick to speak. We're quick to argue back. We're quick to make a point. We're quick to throw that low blow, man, just to make them hurt just a little bit. We're quick to speak, and instead, we need to take a breath and just breathe for a moment and be quick to listen. We should be quick to listen. Again, don't let the power of the simplicity of this number one pass you by. When we start to fight, we stop and we really need to focus. We really, really need to hear what the other person's saying. We've got to make this intentional. Here's what the scripture says. Here's what the scripture says if we don't do it. Proverbs 18 and 2. It says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. You see, when you're quick to respond and not willing to get some understanding first, the Bible kind of categorizes you in an area as a fool. A fool is like, hey, I don't really care what you have to say, but I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. I'm going to tell you what's on my mind. You don't understand the emotion I'm going through, so I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know how hurt I really am. We're not trying to understand the other person. We just want to be heard. We just want to make our point. We just want to win. And Scripture says we are become foolish when we do that, and we're not fighting fair. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. For anger resides, where? In the lap of fools. And so we're responding out of anger and trying to get that low blow and get that final cut and try to make our point. We're sitting in the laps of fools. Here are a couple things that I learned when I was in seminary, and I teach a lot of this when I do premarital counseling. And when I took a class on counseling, I took classes called nouthetic counseling, which actually means confrontation, but it actually deals with how to handle confrontation. That is, in an argument, what we should do is we should practice repeating back to our spouse what our spouse just said. And I believe this. I believe if we could just grab a hold of that one simple principle, to step back, and when my wife says, whatever, and she, sometimes that's what goes through my head, it's just whatever. When my wife has a point and she's upset and she has an issue in her life, for me to repeat back that issue right to her, it does something. It separates me from the issue that it's not a personal attack against me. It's something that's an issue that could affect our marriage. And so we repeat back whatever it is that our spouse could be saying. And it forces us, when we have to repeat back, it forces us to do what? It forces us to listen, right? Because we're going to have to repeat back what our spouse said to us, or what our boyfriend said to us, or what our girlfriend says to us, because this is something you can practice before you get married. And so what you're saying is this. This is what you do. So what you're saying is this. You feel hurt because I didn't do this. Or you're saying is you feel like you're doing all the work because I didn't take out the trash. Or you're saying that, you know, I was in a group of people and I ignored you and you didn't feel honored. You didn't feel loved. You didn't feel respected at that point. So repeat back to your spouse whatever it is that they're saying to you. And you'll be amazed, even in that simple little tool, you'll be amazed at what will happen. We have to stop to listen. What are you saying? I value what you're saying. When you stop and repeat back to your spouse, your loved one, you're telling them that you value what they have to say. You're telling them that they have value in your life, rather than attack instantly, but you give them value. And you tell them that you want to hear them, and you just don't want them to hear you. The second thing, number two, is that we have to guard our words faithfully. James 19b really is what it is. It says that we'll become slow. Everybody say it, slow to speak. We need to guard our words faithfully. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Slow to speak. Proverbs 21:23 says, watch your tongue and keep your trap. I love this version. Keep your trap shut. Keep your big mouth shut and you'll stay out of trouble. That's actually out of the Message Bible. Now, you can't say that in the fight. Don't quote that scripture in the middle of an argument, okay? That's not healthy, okay? But we need to do that in our life, don't we? We need to just learn to keep our mouth shut. One of the practices that I've done as a husband over 23 years, who've made many, many of these mistakes multiple times, is I've learned to take up a posture. And my posture when my wife and I are starting to get into debate is I do this. And that's not for my wife to look like him. It's not any of that. It's a reminder for me. Shut up. Don't do it. Because I want to just, I'm a fighter. I don't walk away from confrontation. I love confrontation, man. It's kind of in my spirit, man. I like that. And so I've got to be willing that when my wife is talking, I'm going to cover my mouth and just shut the heck up. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And it's not for my benefit. It's for the benefit of my marriage that I do that, because now it's forcing me to listen to my wife, especially in the middle of an argument. Do I always do it right? No. But generally, that's what we want to do. Watch your mouth. Keep your mouth shut. When you're in a fight to do this, I'm telling you, force yourself, When you're about to say something, you need to ask yourself two questions. Most of you probably learned this growing up. If you're not, this will be a great revelation for you this morning. Ask yourself, should it be said? And then ask yourself, should it be said now? When you're running late to church, and things have been hectic with your wife, she's been trying to get the kids ready, she's been doing all this, and you're going to ask her if she's going to make supper when we get back from church. Probably not the best time to do that, guys. Just health-wise, and I just don't think that's a good idea. Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of our words. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Watch this. And they who indulge in it, indulge in what? Life or death shall eat the fruit of it, for death and life. Our tongues are extremely powerful. And so we have to learn some self-control in this marriage and in this relationship. We've got to learn some self-control to keep our mouth shut. Because what you say generally during a heated debate or intense fellowship or an argument or a fight or whatever you want to call it can create life or it's going to create death. And you have the power to control that within yourself. And so if you're the fighter in the family, you need to learn this big time. Because a lot of times your wife or your husband, generally, you know, this can be switched over where the wife or the husband's not a confrontational person. And so you think the husband is ignoring you and just, you know, maybe you don't hear what I'm saying, but you're up there just like, dag, 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 dag. You want to fight. You want to come on, fight, man. Let's go. And the guy's like, I'm trying to keep peace. I'm backing off. I'm keeping my mouth shut. And you think that he's trying to fight and he's trying to preserve the marriage. A lot of times you need to be careful of where we're at. Because that relationship is switched. Sometimes it's the wife is the controversy person. She's the one that wants to get it out. She's the one that wants to throw it down. And the guy's like, man, I don't want this. And so it's important that whichever side of the fence you're on, whichever person you are in that relationship, you learn this posture. And you learn to cover your mouth. And as your pastor, keep your trap shut. And listen to your spouse. Listen to your spouse. Should it be said if you're running late to the airport? No way. Make my wife, you know, no. Proverbs 15:23 says this. Everything, watch this. Everyone, say everyone, enjoys a fitting reply. It's wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. Sometimes, man, just don't say nothing at all. It's okay. You don't have to get the last word in. But watch the words that you're speaking out of your mouth. Are they creating life? Are they creating death? Is it going to be something that your spouse is going to enjoy hearing? And most of us would say no, probably not. The next question is, should it be said now? Because there are some things that need to be said, but not in the middle of a fight. There are new issues that need to be introduced, to be worked through, but not in the middle of the fight. Sometimes there are issues that are here. There are real issues that you're going to have to deal with. There are real situations that you're going to go, but you don't do it in the middle of a fight. You don't do it when everybody's temperature is up. When the kids are running around screaming because they're freaking out because you're in the middle of this fight. You're slamming doors, man. You're punching walls. Wherever it is that you are in that relationship with that fight, right now is not the time to deal with the major issues. And so you need to ask yourself, do I need to talk about this right now? One of the things that Robin and I have learned to do, we're not great at it, but we're getting better at it, is that when everything is going good, is when we talk about those issues that need to be talked about. You know, sometimes Robin will come to me and she'll say, how am I doing? And I'll be like, man, you're doing great. So no. How am I doing? Am I showing you respect? Am I honoring you? And I'll go to Robin sometimes and say, you know, how am I doing? Am I loving you like I'm supposed to? Am I living the life that I'm supposed to? Am I helping out enough? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? You do it in the healthy because you've got momentum created, right? You've got a good positive momentum. And then we always try to lift each other up. We try to encourage each other, build off that momentum and encourage one another when times are good. Because the tendency is, man, if all we do is argue and fight, then those compliments become fewer and fewer, don't they? They become fewer and fewer. And so in those moments when things are good, find two or three things about your spouse that you can say, man, I sure appreciate you cooking dinner for me tonight. Or I sure appreciate you, man, fixing the porch. Or I sure appreciate you doing this, that. That's an inside joke because my porch is not fixed and it's supposed to be fixed so we can sell the house. But tell your spouse some two or three good things. When things are good, let them know how much you appreciate them. Some of you might be thinking, there ain't one, I can't think of two, Pastor Mike. Dream it up, make something up, but tell your spouse two good things, three good things. Let them know how much you appreciate them. And then know when and where to bring up these arguments. Now, even if you follow these rules, you're still going to get in a, you're still going to fight. It's human nature. We're people. We're sinful people. We have a tendency to follow the flesh more than we follow the spirit. And so you're going to get in some fight. And so here are a few rules. Now, if you're dating or hope to date or you're engaged, it's a great time to decide on some rules for your relationships before you get married. Here's a couple rules that I really like. Here's some. Never call each other names. Decide as a couple or decide before you start dating, we're not going to call names. We're not going to do it. Never call names unless it's your little putt love, you know, like Butte. That's my wife's pet name, all right? I call her Butte. Yeah, I know. Oh, that's so cute. I know. Pookie Boo or something, you know, I'm sorry. Whatever you can call those kind of names. Those are good names to call. Here's something that we have to practice. Never raise your voice. You raise your voice, nothing, guys, nothing ever good comes out of raising your voice. It's a good time to step back, count to 10, breathe, sing a song, say a prayer, say 14 prayers, pray in tongues, whatever you need to do, but calm down first. Before you get into a confrontation with your spouse, take some time, step back, and don't raise your voice. Never get historical. That's supposed to be historical in your worship guide. My wife changed it because she thought I meant hysterical, and I'm like, no, baby, historical. Never get historical. Anybody know what that means? You understand what that's talking about? Remember when we get in that fight, man, and all of a sudden this file cabinet you've never seen before, all of a sudden shows up in the middle of your fight. And your spouse is going, remember back in 1992, you told me you didn't love me after I said I loved you, right? And we pull out the old history books and we pull it back out and remember this and remember that. In an argument, or even in your relationship, make a commitment not to become historical or hysterical. In my wife's case, she put that in there, I didn't. So historical, don't be historical. This is not we're not keeping score. Marriage is not about keeping score. Marriage is not about you up me on this and I'm going to up you on this. You know, that's not what marriage is about. Marriage is about two people living the life that God has created them to live. And living that life, first of all, seeking God, and then we got to learn to fight fair. Never say never or always. Oh, my goodness. That's probably one of the biggest things Robin and I have gotten into. You always fill in the blank. You never take out the trash. Really? Never? Never? I just did it 2 months ago. I wrote it down. I know that I did that. All right? You never do this, and you always do this. We have a tendency to exaggerate things to just do what? For what? To get our point across. Don't use never or always. And what we're doing is we're showing and we're communicating respect when we don't use these. Never say never, never say always. And then finally, this is probably the biggest one, guys. I can't tell you how many times Rob and I had to learn this the hard way. Never threaten divorce. Never threaten divorce. Don't do it. It's the lowest thing you can do. Guys, I'll tell you why this is a huge thing for men and women. The one thing that a woman needs in her relationship with her husband, probably the most important thing, I think, other than love, I think second important, is she needs to know that there's security. She needs to feel secure in her relationship. When we throw out that word divorce, what do you think that does to the security of the relationship? Kills it. Destroys it. Don't ever threaten for divorce. It's the worst thing you can do in a relationship. Wives the same way. When you threaten for divorce, wives, you take the value of what the man feels and who he is, and you trample it. We have a pastor that married us, Scott Fraser, great guy. And Robin taught me this, and I've heard him say this. I think there comes a point in every marriage where everybody goes, am I married to the right guy? Am I married to the right girl? you know, maybe you know this fighting and all this. And here's some of the greatest advice that he ever gave me, and he ever gave us as his church members. And he said, if you ever want to know whether or not you married the right person, is rewind that videotape where you said, I do. Because if you said yes, you're married to the right person. The person you have in your life now that you're married to is the right person. Doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to work out peachy king all the time. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fight, but it does mean that you have the right spouse, and they are with you. You just got to learn the tools and have the techniques and know how to fight fair. Guard your words carefully. Stop, listen carefully. Guard your words carefully and faithfully. And then finally, if you're taking notes, write this down. Number three, handle our anger righteously. And that's found in verse 20. Handle our anger righteously. This is so important because you will get angry, and you want to handle it. You want to handle it in the flesh, or you can handle it being led by the Holy Spirit. It's your decision. There are some things you just got to learn to let go. You just got to learn to let same stuff go. One of the things that Rob and I are getting really good at, and we're practicing this as well in our marriage, is I ask a question inside our marriage. You know, if we're going to fight or I want to act righteously. I want to live righteously as a priest of my home. And so one of the things that I begin to ask myself, it's a great question, is in 2, 3, or even 5 years, is this really going to matter? Is it going to make any difference in my relationship with my wife? Is it going to make any difference? Is it going to take away or add to the life that I'm currently living right now? Most of the time, the petty arguments that we get involved in and the disputes that we have inside our marriage, they don't matter in 5 years. You won't even remember most of the arguments that you've had because they weren't that important. But yet at the moment, because we're in the heat of the moment and we don't have self-control, we're in the middle of this crazy fight. But why? Why? Is it really going to matter in 5 years? We need to learn to let things go. You need to learn to let go of the past. You need to learn to let go of the failures. We've all failed. The Bible says all have failed and fall short to God's glorious standard. None of us can live up to his standard. That's why we got Jesus, praise God. That's why we have grace. None of us can live up to that standard. But now you have to realize that your spouse, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, they're not Jesus. And they're going to make mistakes. They're going to go off path sometimes. Learn to let things go, church. Quit holding on to grudges and things and trying to, you know, just kind of control our spouse based upon mistakes that they have made. And learn to let those things go. Robin talks with women all the time, and she says, listen, you married men. You married a man. Men will do things. Men do stupid things. You got to learn to let it go. I can't tell you how many times in counseling, man, where I've counseled married couples and they just won't let go of issues. And until they let go of these issues, there's not going to be freedom in their marriage. And I will tell you the same thing. When you're harboring these past hurts and all this garbage in your life, that, man, if you'll just let it go, you'll begin to experience the relationship that God has for you. But you've got to learn to let it go. Quit holding on to this stuff. It's not healthy. And it will not bring about the righteousness of God. Be slow to anger. I love Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Look, when you're fighting and fighting, you don't want to let something go. And you're not operating righteously. You begin to hold these grudges. And every night you go to bed, that grudge is still there. That grudge is still there, and you're still fighting, and you're eating on it. And then you wake up in the morning, guess what happened? It's still there. Don't go to bed angry. It's a commitment that Robin and I have made, and I think we've only missed it. In 23 years of marriage, I think it's only been one time where we've went to bed angry with each other. One time. And even then, we didn't sleep very good. Even then, we didn't sleep very well at all. We don't go to bed angry. And sometimes, let me tell you, it's 3, 4 o'clock in the morning before we get to bed. We ain't going to bed until we've settled this thing. And sometimes we're yelling. By the time we're done, we're praying. Praise God. It's amazing how you always go back to seeking God. Amazing how you go back to seeking God. Now, let me stop right here for a second and say to some of you, if you'll just get this one point, nothing else, this morning, if you can get this one thing can be life-changing principle for your marriage. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Don't go to bed mad. Don't go to bed with unresolved issues. The Bible says, man, that we should walk in love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's what I want you to think about. Anytime you go to bed with an unresolved issue, what you just did is you gave the devil a foothold into your marriage. And anytime, and it's that dramatic, it's that big, it's that important, anytime you didn't work it out, you didn't forgive, you didn't talk about it, and you go to bed, guess what happens that next day? You wake up and you carry it right over. You carry it right into the next day with you. But the whole problem is the problem becomes bigger the next day, doesn't it? And then you dwell on it some more, and it becomes bigger, and becomes bigger, becomes this big snowball effect. I'm telling you, I know there are a lot of you right now going through, you know, even thinking to yourself, you think this is stupid. You don't know my husband and the person I'm married to. I mean, he's got this gift of being a jerk. Some of us got that spiritual gift of jerkness. You know, you're just who you are. You know, and all this kind of garbage and this stuff that we hang on to. What you have to do and what you need to make a commitment to do and start doing this morning, probably should have done it years ago, is to focus on, I'm not going to bed angry. We're gonna resolve these issues. We're going to deal with these issues. Even if that means that we've got to put the kids to bed, put on a pot of coffee, and stay up and fight the battle, but fight fair. Don't let it compound you. Rob and I make this agreement that we're not going to go to bed angry with one another. We're going to work it out. Make the decision that no matter what the disagreement is, that you'll work it out. Put God first. Seek God. Now, to be honest with you, there have been times we've gone, you know, like I said, many, many hours without sleeping, trying to resolve issues. Mark 10 and 9 says this. It says, "What therefore God has united, joined together, let not man separate or divide." And when you make the choice to walk away from that without resolution, you make the decision to turn away from that and go to bed or turn it off and say, well, I don't want to deal with this right now. You're that person that's trying to divide that marriage. Be willing to stand up. Be willing to stay up. And be willing to resolve the issue. Fight righteously. This is all about seeking God. And it's all about fighting fair. Let me tell you, one of those of you who aren't married, I'll give you a little bit of hint. The minute you get married, it's like you're infused with an understanding of how to fight dirty. Especially fight dirty at night. You get in bed, right, if you're fighting, and how many huffers do we have in here? And I don't mean illegally huffers. Those are the people that husband gets in bed, wife gets in bed, they're facing opposite corners, right? Bounce down in bed. My wife, she's the silent one. She's the quiet one. She won't move a muscle. She doesn't want me to know she has a pulse. She's just like, right? I'm the guy over there. Oh, moving around in bed, right? That's me. I got to get up, you know, and I'm going to the bathroom. And well, that's what you do when you're 40 or plus years old. You get up and go to the bathroom many times in the night. You know, I'm slamming the cabinets. I'm not looking for anything. I'm just trying to wake her up. I jump back in bed, you know, and I'm, you know, and trying to slip my foot over there to touch her. Oh, no, you're not getting no toe touch tonight. Back off, mister. Get away. Something happens, young people, when you get married, you develop this instinct automatically. It's infused into you when you get married. One of the things we're learning, though, is that we lay on our backs now. And when we have an issue, we actually learned it from Pastor Jim and Meredith. While the lights are down, for some reason, you begin to talk quieter. And so we've made a lot of resolutions just before we go into bed. We're laid in bed and just, you know, the lights are down, dogs are semi-non-retarded. We got four beasts at the house right now, man. Whew, praise God. Anyhow, but we're able to do that. We're able to talk back and forth. The cool thing about it is that we learned from Pastor Jim is that we can't see each other's expression. So she could be, I could be out there, I could be talking, and she could be like, and I wouldn't even know it. So I don't get mad, right? I don't see that. You know, I don't see none of that, so I'm not getting upset. I'm not getting mad. We're just talking back and forth, right? And she can't see me going, you know, whatever, you know. Had a little bit too much drink tonight, Robin, you know, whatever. But we're able to really fight and communicate. Yeah, poor Robin. Praise God. But we're able to communicate through those. But something happens, man. You got a lot of huff out here and some flip-floppers and all that, but don't. Don't go to bed. Don't go to bed without dealing with it. Nothing good can come from it. And what you do then is you make sure you don't touch any body parts during that point, because, yeah, guys, don't start a fight with your, this is like totally off paper. Don't start a fight and then just think you're going to get nuki from your wife, you know. Let's make up. Whatever. Good luck with that, all right? Just, good night. React in love. Walking righteously requires us to react in love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Or guys, gals, it's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. That's everything we just talked about in one passage of Scripture. You know, that's love. That's the relationship God wants us to have. Don't be rude. Don't be arrogant. Don't be boastful. Don't be prideful. It's not about you. It's about the marriage. And God wants you to enjoy the marriage that He has for you. Here's what we need to do in our marriage, all of us. We're seeking God, but what are we doing? We're going to do it by praying together, right? We made that commitment last week. We're going to pray together every single day. And we talked about that. You can go online again. Go out and check that series out. It was a great message. It's a principle you want to put in your life. Like, you wouldn't quit flossing or brushing your teeth, right? Because then you would have big arguments with your spouse, okay? So you're going to brush your teeth every morning. You're just going to pray every morning. We're going to make it a part. It's going to be a keystone habit in our life. And then we're going to learn how to fight fair. We're going to learn how to fight fair. If we continue to seek God, guess what happens when we fight in a fight? We know we're coming. We know we're praying together, right? We know we're going to pray together at the end of the day. We know we're going to, you know, we're going to come together. But when you start praying together and you're seeking God first, it makes these battles a whole lot less. And you'll be nice to one another. It's hard to fight and pray with somebody. Bless God, give me your hand. We're praying right now, Jesus. It's not going to happen. Come on now. It's hard to throw a high heel shoes at someone, you know, and then pray for them. It's hard to be intimate with God and live with ongoing bitterness and resentment and anger inside your heart. It's impossible, nearly. So when we're fighting, we don't react with the sinful flesh. We're going to walk in righteousness. We're not going to fight back. We're not going to hit below the belt. We're not going to make accusations. We're not going to be historical and pull up the past. We're going to fight fair. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our marriage and into our relationships and let Him lead, guide, and direct our life. We're going to react in love. We're going to react with love. We won't react in the flesh. Will respond in the Spirit. Now, I know that's good preaching. I mean, that's like steak and eggs this morning, guys. So as we wrap this thing up, let me acknowledge something for a moment. And this is real serious, okay? I know that in marriages, there are marriages represented here this morning at our church. And we've got some of you who've been fighting and fighting and fighting, and you guys are having some real, real drag outs because you don't like the way maybe you choose food or out in public, or whatever it is. He doesn't like the way you trash his car. And we've got all the way up to the other extreme where she came home and saw him looking at porn this week. I don't find that funny. I don't find that funny. I find that pretty serious. So from every angle, we have, you know, just the nitpicky little stuff that nobody cares about, and then we've got that serious issue on the other end. And so I'm not trying to overlook any of that. Some of us, you know, the cases of she's cheated on you with a close friend or there's abuse, and for some there might be even violence. And I understand the complexity of and the range of what we have at our church. And I don't want to go out without acknowledging that. I don't want to go out without understanding that, yeah, we had a good time this morning talking about some of the fun things about marriage. And it is fun sometimes to watch other people fight because it's hilarious sometimes. I mean, it is. But the bottom line is, man, there are some serious issues. Some of them are light issues, but just haven't found healing in these light issues. But then there's some really heavy issues, man, that we're dealing with. I want to give you guys about four warning signs to say, you know what, this has been a great message series, Pastor Mike, and I'm getting a lot of out of this, but man, I need something more. And these four warning signs, really, as I talk about these, if you've got any of these four in your life, I'm going to encourage you as your pastor that you need to find some serious counseling. You need to get with someone who's biblically based, whose word, their foundation is their word, is the word of God, and that is professional in handling some of these situations. So if you're taking notes, these are four signs that you're not fighting fair. These are actually found by Dr. Gottman as well. I've noticed these also in my marriage counseling. But if you have some of these, you might want to reevaluate your marriage. So you know what? We need to go deeper. We need to get somebody to talk with us inside our marriage. So number one, there's criticizing. There's constant criticizing in your relationship. Number two, there's contempt. Number three, there's defensiveness. And then number four, there's stonewalling. So let me explain these to you for a moment. So criticizing, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. There's a difference now between criticizing and complaining. And those are just two different things. Complaining is basically, you know, hey, you told me you were gonna go do this and you didn't do it. I wish you would have done it. That's complaining, okay? That's complaining. Criticizing is you never do what you say you're going to do. And it's constant. It's constant. And when you find that in your marriage, there's a consistency of a critical spirit. And that's the beginning of a real danger signs. You need to go deeper. You need to find out why it's causing that critical spirit in your marriage. A critical spirit will destroy a marriage. Criticism then kind of moves to contempt, where there's disgust, there's a lot of eye rolling, there's sarcasm, disrespect, reaction without love or honor or respect. You kind of get to that, I don't even like this person type of mentality. You know what I'm saying? From there, it moves to defensiveness. And I see it all the time. I talk to him, and he's like, it's her fault. It's all her fault. It's all in, you know, she talked to her, and it's his fault, and he's a jerk. He's got that spiritual gift of being an idiot. And it's none of my fault. There's no acceptance of responsibility within the relationship from either party. There's that defensiveness. No one will take responsibility. And when you have that in a marriage, it's extremely unhealthy. We've got to take responsibility, and there's a defensiveness there. We got to deal with that. It always takes two, people. It always takes two in a relationship. Good or bad, it's taken both of you to get there. And then finally, there's that stonewalling. And that's where he or she says, I'm done. I quit. And you're going through the marriage. You're there, but you're only there because the kids are there. You're only there because you don't want the church to look at you a different way, or your friends or your relationships or whatever. And so you've quit. You've walked away already. Wives have that blank stare when you talk to them. Guys, they're at work all the time. They're in the garage all the time. No communication anymore. That's that stonewalling. You've given up. You've quit. If those four characteristics are in your marriage, as your pastor, let me encourage you to get some help. Get some help. One of my heart's desires, when I went through seminary, my goal through seminary was not to become a pastor. A lot of people don't know that. I went through ministry and through counseling, or not through counseling, but through seminary school. I actually got a good degree in Christian psychology because, based off my childhood, I wanted to see healthy families and healthy marriages. It's what I do. And that's what Epic Life's about. We've kind of refocused some of the things about our church because we want our church to be focused around the family. Matter of fact, on the back of your worship guides, there are questions there that are designed for the family that you can sit down with family members. Now, of course, we're talking about marriage this time, and I get that, but this is stuff that we can talk to our teenagers about preparing them for marriage, you know? We need to be preparing our young people for marriage, and we don't do it. But if you've got those things in your life, if those things are an issue in you, you need to work those things out. We need to work those things out. God has a plan and a purpose for everything. The whole mission statement of Epic Life is to help you live the life that you're created for. We have a powerful Father. We got a God, man, that wants to come into your life and live the life that you're supposed to live through you. Through you. I mean, it's hard to do that, isn't it, when you're fighting with your spouse? The one that you said from this day forward, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be there with you. And then 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, man, it's not that way anymore. So we're going to worship God this morning, man, and we're going to give God glory this morning. If you're with your spouse, man, what a great time to worship with your spouse, man. Hold her hand, hold his hand, lift up and just worship God. And for single people, praise God, you're not married yet. You can glorify God just because of that, praise God. You don't have to deal with that other person right now. Just work on you. Work on your relationship of seeking God first as you're waiting for your what? Your number 2. That's right. Waiting for your number 2. So let's all stand to our feet. I want to pray, and the band's going to kick it off with singing glory to God. We give God glory. Let's pray this morning. Father God, we truly do give you glory in everything that we say and do. And Lord, we know that living the life that we're called to live is difficult, especially when you're talking about marriage. So Father, right now, as we begin to worship you this morning, we're going to lift up our hand. We're going to worship you. We're going to, God, and just give it to you. Whatever it is that's going on in our marriage, Lord, maybe it's a communication issue. Maybe it's one of these three things, Father God, where we react. We don't protect our words. We're not living in righteousness. We're not reacting righteously in our relationships. Father, I pray that you'd speak to each couple, Lord God, and begin that healing process in their life. And Father, as we worship you, Lord God, we declare this morning that just as it was said in the Old Testament, Father God, that as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise to live the life that he's called us to live. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Amen. Y'all raise up your hands for a moment. Let's go ahead and lift up our hands for just a moment. Put an attitude of prayer here. You know, for some people, man, your issue really, that's just kind of the beginning of all the things we've talked about, the arguing, the fighting, just the things, the name-calling, the all that. But for some of you, man, God's just not in the relationship. And that was what we talked about yesterday, about seeking God and putting God first in our marriage. And so no matter what type of relationship you have, a healthy relationship needs to have God in it. Needs to have the Holy Spirit. Needs to be Holy Spirit driven. And for some of you, that's where you're at right now. Jesus just isn't the Lord of your life. He's not there in the midst of your marriage. And so we do church on Sunday, and that's great, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus is the Lord of your life. And it's easy to kind of escape that. It's easy to kind of get away from that, to realize, man, that in order for me to live the life that God has created me to live, I've got to put God first. God has to be first in my life. And so I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I want to give an invitation this morning. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. Maybe for you, you're exploring this idea of God and you don't even have a relationship with him right now. But can I tell you this? You're either married now or you're going to be married or you're fixing to get married, or maybe you've experienced kind of the heartache of the divorce because God wasn't in the middle of your life. He wasn't in the middle of your relationship. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, if we can bring the back lights up, just the one light up there for me, please. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, man. This is just between you and the Holy Spirit, man. Let the Holy Spirit work on you for a moment. Music's going to play in the background real quiet. You know, let's let God back into our marriage. For some of you, you just need to let God into your marriage. You just haven't let him have access to it. And he needs to have that room in your life. If you want to live the life that God has called you to live, it begins individually before it begins as a couple. Where are you at? Can you honestly say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I would love the privilege and honor to pray for you this morning if he's not. I don't want to embarrass you. Maybe I do want to embarrass you. You know what? Because you know something, man? This life that God offers to you is so valuable, it's worth being embarrassed. It is. Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago paid the ultimate price for us so that we can approach the throne room of God and receive grace and mercy in the time of need. And he gives that to us as a free will gift. You don't have to earn it. You just have to accept it. You just have to receive it into your life. We were talking at life groups, and it's like this box, this gift. And God's handing you a gift. But it's not one thing just to have the gift. Now, I got the gift, but you got to open that gift up, and you got to let it work in your life. And so all across this room this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would love the privilege to lead you into that relationship. All across this room, is there anyone to say today, Pastor Mike, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anyone this morning that would say, that's me. That is freaking awesome. That means I'm talking to a house full of churches this morning. I see you, brother. Thank you so much. Awesome. Wow, great boldness, man. Is there anyone else this morning? Then I want to say one other thing then. I want to talk to the marriage for a minute. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your marriage? Who's running the marriage? Who's running the relationship right now? If it's not God, it's not based off God's principles, he's not Lord. He's not Lord. And so if you're there this morning with your spouse, and you know your spouse probably got you by the hand right now, you're losing circulation because they're squeezing it so hard, or he's squeezing it so hard, you're saying, man, that's us. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Allow me to pray for you this morning. If that's you this morning, say, I'm ready to bring Jesus Christ in the center of my marriage. I see you back there. Thank you so much. Is there anybody else this morning that says, I need Jesus Christ back in my marriage? Where are you at? All across this room. Don't let pride stop you. Praise God. Is there anyone else this morning? Right on, man. We're going to pray for you guys. Right on. Thank you so much. Let's pray this morning. Father God, right now in Jesus' mighty name. God, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus Christ as an offering for our sins. Lord, that there's nothing we can do. We are fallible people. We're sinful people by nature because of the curse of the law. But Lord God, you sent Jesus to bring us outside of that. You introduced to us something so new that it tore the world upside down when you introduced grace into the factor. Lord, I thank you for that grace, that unmerited favor that we can approach the throne of grace and receive mercy in a time of need. So Lord, some people have raised their hands this morning saying, I need that mercy. I need that relationship this morning. And if that's you this morning, would you pray this prayer with me? You don't have to pray exactly like this, man, but just something like this. Mean it in your heart and believe that what God says will happen, will happen. Pray, Father God, I come to you, a sinner, and I repent. I turn away from living my life and being in control. Today I make a choice. I choose Jesus. I choose life over death. I choose a new covenant with you. And I receive Jesus Christ into my life as Lord and as Savior. Forgive me for everything that I've done wrong, my sins. And Lord God, receive me as a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says when you've received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that all things become new. You're not identified by your past. You're identified by what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. I want to pray for the marriages this morning. Father God, for every marriage that's in this place, Lord God, I pray for them. And those that are making that decision to let Jesus Christ be the Lord of their marriage. Father, that is a difficult, difficult thing. There are going to be challenges up the next week, Father, that they're going to be entangled with. And they're going to have to make a decision this week whether or not Jesus Christ is the Lord of their marriage. Father, I pray for your peace and I pray for grace in this battle that they're making and the decision that they're making to make Jesus Christ the Lord in their marriage. Lord, first, I pray that they would begin to seek you first, that put you first, Father God. Your word, Lord God, would be upon their mouth and upon their hearts, that you would perform it in their life. Father, I pray, Lord God, that when the temptation to argue and fight unfair and do the undercuts and the ugly words and be historical and all these other things, Father, when that temptation comes, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd quicken their spirit right now for the decision that they're making tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And God, I pray, Lord God, that you'd let them experience the marriage that they're called to live based off of your word and based off of your principles. And I pray for those who've been fighting but not fighting fair. I pray, Lord God, that you'd remind our people, remind these people of what your word says. That, Lord God, we're not going to fight angry. We're not going to sin against our spouse or our loved one. Father, we're going to stay pure. We're going to be righteous, Father. And Lord God, help us to walk in that. I thank you for victory. I thank you for the good report that we're going to hear. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. If you made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, not of your marriage, but of your life, on the back of that communication card, there is a place. Whether you raised your hand or you didn't, but you prayed that prayer with me this morning, I want you to mark that card, and I want you to get that to me because I want to get some information into your hands. I want to start praying for you. I want to get some stuff to get you, start discipling you and help you live that life that God has called you to live. So be sure to mark that box so I can get that information to you. Man, we're going to worship one more time. When they're done worshiping, man, we're just going to be officially dismissed. But let's worship the Lord one more time, man, and let God know that he reigns in our lives. Let's go ahead, man.